Well, hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And on this beautiful Memorial Day 2025, we have a very special guest on Take Two, a friend of Take Two's. We just love him so very, very much, and we appreciate all the fine work that he does in ministry for all of us in the Catholic faith. And this Memorial Day is a special day. No phone calls today, so we need you to sit back and just take it all in and just really think about those incredible men and women that gave up their lives so that we can have the freedom we experience today. And so our guest is from the Archdiocese for the Military Services. It's Auxiliary Bishop Joseph Coffey is with us the entire hour. And Bishop Coffey, we just love when you visit Take Two, because the Take Two family, they constantly ask Jerry and I, have you heard from Bishop Coffey? Where is he? How is he doing? And now we get to spend the hour with you on this glorious Memorial Day.
That's funny. Sometimes my siblings say the same thing. Have you heard from Joe? Where is he?
That is too funny, too funny. Well, Bishop Coffey, being the auxiliary bishop, one of the bishops for the Archdiocese for the Military Services. And by the way, folks, if you want to learn more about this incredible diocese that so many don't even realize that cover all of the military, you can visit it at milarch.org. That's MILARCH.org. And you can learn all about it and all the great things that they are doing to support our military men and women. On this Memorial Day, Bishop Coffey, could we begin with prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings you give to our nation and to all of us as individuals, our families, and we thank you for the many gifts we have, the gift of our family, friends, food, lodging, but especially our faith. Thank you, Lord, for giving us our faith in you as our risen Lord Jesus. And we ask you now to bless us and all of our veterans and all of our men and women in uniform all over the world, especially those in harm's way. Bring them home safely. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. So Bishop Coffey is with us the entire hour on this Memorial Day episode of, it's a pre-recorded broadcast of for Take Two Family. And we want to thank our producer, Michael McCall, for putting this together. But Bishop, there's so many things I want to ask you, because the military men and women are back in the news with different things that we can do as folks that support the military by way of having friends and family members in the military, spouses, military families. It's been in the news again, especially with this administration that we have in office right now, talking about what we can do to support the military. That's the first place I really want to start. You know, I think all the time, there's fundraisers, there's all kind of veterans things that you can be a part of. But I go maybe months without even hearing about what I can do for the military. Can you help us with that?
Well, I think just acknowledging our veterans is always so much appreciated. I know that whenever I was on active duty for 20-some years as a Navy chaplain, when I'd walk through an airport wearing my uniform, many times people would say to me, thank you for your service. And you can't believe how good that makes us feel, that people appreciate what we do. And I always do that myself when I see veterans. So I think that's very, very important. Whenever we see a veteran, if they're wearing their ball cap that says they're a Vietnam or a World War II veteran, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Space Force, whatever service they were in, it's always important to thank our veterans and those on active duty that are volunteering their time to serve our country. So I think that acknowledgement and appreciation really goes a long way, so people think that their service is appreciated. And I would always tell the guys in boot camp, I served two tours in boot camp for the Marines and the Coast Guard. I told them that someday they're going to be veterans and maybe at a ball game standing up for the national anthem as veterans, and people are going to thank them for that. So I think appreciation of our veterans is really, really important, and to pray for them as well.
So I love that, Bishop Coffey. I love that. So the very first thing we can do is when we see somebody that we know if they're wearing that hat or we know they have served in the military, to just go up and say thank you. It's kind of like what I say, Bishop, about the deacons, right? We don't thank the deacons enough in our church.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I do too. I love the deacons. They have saved me so much in ministry. The deacons always used to come through for me. They're incredible. And I feel the same way about our military men and women. I don't think we say thank you and even ask them. So many have these very, they're intricately labeled hats, right? Like the hats they wear when they serve.
Ball caps,
sometimes I'll say to them, like, what does this mean? And what is this? And they'll go into this huge explanation.
Oh, they love that.
Yeah. I love that. I don't think we're curious enough. Would you say that that's okay to be curious?
Oh, I think it is. I think anyone wearing a ball cap would love for someone asked about it, you know, what the various medals mean, or the ribbons, or the pins that they wear. Sometimes it might be a POW pin or a Purple Heart pin, or it might have their unit that they served with, might have their rank. So if you don't know what that means, you say, hey, what's that mean? And they'll love to explain it to you.
I love that. Now, I was told one time, don't ask too many questions, because sometimes those that have served, especially those that have gone through war situations, they can be a bit traumatized from that. What do you say to that?
Well, that's true, but if someone's wearing a ball cap, they're identifying as a veteran.
Right, right.
So it's certainly okay to ask them questions. Now, if you ask a question and they seem like they're reticent, they say, well, I just want to thank you for your service, and leave it at that.
Right.
They just kind of feel people out and see where they are.
That sounds good. That sounds really good. So that's the first thing we can do on this beautiful Memorial Day, is to say thank you to those that served. Now, there's a difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, and we can talk about that as well. And but we're those men and women that have given up their lives so that we can experience all the beautiful things that we experience today. We are in a privileged position, folks, and to recognize those that have served in the military, I think, is very important. We do it very seriously here on Take Two. That's why Auxiliary Bishop Joseph Coffey is with us the entire hour from the Archdiocese for the Military Services. And we're so grateful to him. He's a busy, busy bishop, but he's made time for us. So stick with us. We'll be right back. This is a pre-recorded new content broadcast for Memorial Day, and we have Bishop Joe Coffey with us, and he is the Auxiliary Bishop for the Archdiocese for the Military Services, talking about how we can recognize those who have served and say thank you to them, especially during this Memorial Day. There is a difference, obviously, Bishop, between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. Memorial Day, where we are really remembering, and it's a somber day of remembering who lost their life in military service, right? And those veterans' cemeteries, I'm always intrigued by them during this time at Memorial Day and Veterans Day, because I believe that those cemeteries go all out to really honor all of the soldiers. Anything you could say about that? Because I actually go and visit the cemeteries during these times.
Oh, that's great. I know that Memorial Day is a very, very special day for all Americans, but especially veterans who have served. And many veterans, maybe they feel guilty that they were able to come home and their buddies didn't. So we have to be conscious of that also. But I think it's important to remember that Memorial Day is a day where we honor those who have died in service, serving their country. I know sometimes we have picnics or fireworks, or we have furniture sales or car sales for Memorial Day, which is all well and good, but we have to remember why we're celebrating that day and why we're honoring those who have died, serving our country, paying the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice, so that we can be free. And we can never, ever take that for granted, because we have these beautiful freedoms that we all love as Americans. But it's the veterans it's those who died to preserve those freedoms for us. And that's why we honor them in a very, very special way on Memorial Day every year. So thank you for having this show and having me as a guest so I can talk about our veterans.
Well, we wanted to give you ample time because, you know, even folks that are just tuning in and they're hearing this pre-recorded broadcast and they're like, why are you spending so much time on this with this bishop that actually is part of the Archdiocese for the Military Services? And maybe we should start there. Can you explain to our brand new listeners, you know, you have your own diocese. A lot of people think, well, if you're in the military and you're stationed in Virginia, you're absorbed in the diocese there, or you're in Seattle, you're absorbed there. But no, you have your own diocese. Can you explain that to all of us?
Sure. We used to fall under the New York Archdiocese, where we were called the military vicariate, and one of the auxiliary bishops of New York would be in charge of all the people in the military. But then in the mid-80s, I forget exactly which year it was, Pope John Paul II created the Archdiocese of the Military Services USA. So we have our own archdiocese. So that means anyone serving in the military, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Space Force, while they're in the military, they belong to the military archdiocese. And we have Timothy Broglio is the military archbishop, and he lives in Washington, D.C., at the headquarters there, right down the street from Catholic University. And he is also the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So he's got two very big jobs. And he has five auxiliary bishops who help him. And I'm one of those auxiliaries. The others take care of the actual bases around the world. I take care of the veterans' hospitals. So that's my job, is to visit the veterans in the hospitals and to take care of our priest chaplains who work in those VA hospitals, because they're all endorsed by Archbishop Broglio. So I, too, am a veteran. I spent 28 years in the Navy altogether, 9 in the reserve and 19 on active duty as a Navy chaplain. So I'm really blessed to be able to continue working with the veterans, even though I'm retired from the military, but I'm full-time with the military archdiocese.
So if you were to wear a ball cap, do you have that rank and those medals on your ball cap?
I don't, but I was a captain. I made 06, which is the equivalent of a colonel in the Navy.
Nice.
And I'm very, very honored and blessed to have been given that rank. And it's one below admiral, so it's pretty high rank. And so I didn't. Actually, on the Navy ball caps, you might see that gold braid on the on the lid, on the rim.
Yeah.
We call that the scrambled egg. That's for a commander or above. So a commander or a captain or an admiral wears those scrambled eggs on his ball cap. So when you see that, you know it's either a commander or a captain.
That is cool. Wow, you learned something. That is amazing. did you, when you served, did you carry a weapon?
No, I'm happy to say that, except the rosary beads in my pocket. That was one weapon I carried. Under the Geneva Convention, a chaplain is considered a non-combatant. So we don't carry weapons. So when I was stationed in Afghanistan during the war, I had a bodyguard. And he did have a weapon. He had actually a gun on his leg, a side gun, and then he carried an M16 as well. So he protected me. His job was to keep me safe. So I did wear a flak jacket and a helmet and goggles and boots and all that, but I didn't actually carry a weapon. And when I was at Camp Leatherneck in Afghanistan, with probably 10,000 Marines on that base, only a handful of us on the base was not carrying a weapon at all times, and that would have been the chaplain. So we were pretty identifiable on a base, because no one over there was without a weapon except the chaplain. So he kept me safe.
Do you still keep in touch with this man?
He was an enlisted man, and he had not gone to college, and I urged him that when he finished his 4 years of service to go to college with a GI Bill, and he did. Mm-hmm. He went to the University of Southern California, and he got his degree, and his name is Trevor McCracken. So if he's hearing this, shout out to Trevor. He was a religious program specialist. And he took very good care of me, and he did get his college degree. I'm so proud of him.
Well, we're so glad and grateful to him as well, because you're speaking with us today, and we're so glad that you're with us, Bishop, because you're one of those keepers that we love to keep around as bishops, because you're incredible. You always make yourself available.
Thank you.
Now, you do. You make yourself available to those in Catholic media, and we so appreciate it. And everybody just loves you. Everybody. And, you know, and I will tell you, Bishop, I kind of downplay our friendship a little bit, because I don't want them to like you so much, because they're going to end up wanting you to come on more interviews, and we want
right.
you. So,
right. Well, we have to share, right?
We have to share. So, no, I tell everybody, yeah, he's amazing. So you are.
And your sidekick, Jerry, he's a good buddy.
He is a good buddy of
I'm
yours.
So proud of him, and your audience knows he's in seminary. We're praying for him. He's going to be an awesome priest. He just took a little longer than the average guy.
He did.
A little break.
He did so well in the first year of seminary. He doesn't like to brag, but he is a really good student, and he is. Yeah, he's, and I think he's just.
Well, he knows. I was praying for him when he took a little leave of absence, which is okay. Some guys in the seminary take a leave of absence, and they're not quite sure. They need a little extra time. Well, Jerry knows I was praying for him, and so when he told me he was coming back to seminary, I was overjoyed. I know he's going to make a wonderful priest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he wanted to be on this interview so badly, but unfortunately he was coming out of seminary and getting ready for his summer assignment. So he said he was sorry, but he wanted to say hello to you, and he loves the prayers and is so grateful for the prayers and your friendship that you have shared for so many years. I heard you played basketball together, I believe.
Jerry is an excellent basketball player. He's in the mold of like a Larry Bird. Neither of us were very good jumpers, but he had that court sense, and he was a great passer and a great shooter, and he's an excellent player.
Wow, that's a skill then. That's cool.
Yep.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, and we're speaking with Bishop Joseph Coffey today of the Archdiocese for the Military Services on this wonderful pre-recorded new content broadcast for Memorial Day. And we want you to really sit back and take it all in and learn more of what you can do to support the military, to understand the military better, to really get to know those who are involved in the ministry work of supporting our men and women and the family that are serving right now. And for those that lost their lives in combat, in the wars, in military service, you know, our hearts are always, thinking of them and praying for them, and always pray for the souls in purgatory. Always, folks. It's so important. We always are praying for our deceased loved ones. It's important. And if they don't need it, if they're in heaven already, it's okay. God will apply those prayers. Right, Bishop?
100% correct.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for reminding us all of that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So we've got more we want to discuss, Bishop, and I would love for you to share some of the things you want to talk about that, you know, to have this platform, to be able to have an open mic and a Take-Two audience that reaches all around the world. You know, they listen, they truly listen, and they do respond to our shepherds and especially the ones that are friends of Take-Two, like yourself. So is there anything you want to talk about that maybe you haven't had the platform to do it, and you think, well, you know, this is a good time to remind everybody of this about our men and women in service.
Well, as a priest that served in the Navy Chaplain Corps for almost 20 years on active duty, I got to meet some incredible people, men and women who wore the uniform, and I'm just so proud of all of them. But there's two that I love to talk about are two of our priest chaplains who died in service to our country. And they were both up for canonization, and that would be Father Capodanno and Father Capon. Father Capodanno was a Navy chaplain, and Father Capon was an Army chaplain. So it would now be a good time to talk about them a little bit.
Oh, yes, definitely. And let's not, we cannot forget our new Pope, right? Because he...
Oh, yeah.
We have to talk about him as well. So, yes,
okay.
feel free to do that.
Well, Father Capodanno was a Maranol priest. And he served overseas in Taiwan and in Hong Kong. And it was during the Vietnam War, he asked his superiors if he could serve as a Navy chaplain because he knew there was a great need. He was originally from Staten Island. So he was able to serve as a Navy chaplain. And Navy chaplains can serve the Navy, the Marines, and the Coast Guard. and he went to Vietnam as a chaplain, and he was so close to the men that his nickname was called the Grunt Padre, the grunts meaning the Marines and the Padre meaning the chaplain, and he was beloved by his Marines. He went home from his tour of duty, and he felt that he was really needed. So he volunteered for a second tour, and he went back to Vietnam, and he was actually coming to the aid of a fallen corpsman, and he was blessing the man and giving him last rites when he was shot in the back 27 times and died instantly, and his cause for canonization has begun. And he was also awarded the Medal of Honor. And so we learned about him in chaplain school in Newport, Rhode Island, and there's chapels and different things named after him all over the Navy. So he was a much beloved Navy chaplain, Father Vincent Capodanno. And then we have Father Emil Capon, who was from the Diocese of Wichita, and he served briefly at the end of World War II. And then when the Korean War broke out, he volunteered for another tour of duty. And he was over in Korea with the Army when our forces were overrun, and he was captured with other soldiers. And there was a sergeant named Sergeant Miller who was in the ditch with a broken leg, and the Chinese soldier was about to shoot him. And Father and Father Capon just very calmly pushed the rifle away to the amazement of everybody, probably including the soldier, and helped him up to his feet and helped basically carry him about 60 miles to the POW camp. And in that camp, Father Capon was beloved by the men because he never stopped trying to keep their spirits up. He would actually steal food from the guards. He was called the Good Thief. He would boil water and make this fake coffee just to try to cheer the men up and said, hey, fresh hot coffee for everybody. And he just kept this incredible spirit of service to the men. And he kept saying to them, hang on, don't give up. You're going to make it home. Don't give up. Well, eventually he had this terrible wound in his leg, which actually caused him to, they took him to what they call the hospital, but it was actually a place to die. And the men protested, saying to the guards, we'll take care of him. Don't take him. But he said, men, don't worry. I'm going to the place where I always wanted to go. So he died in the POW camp, and his cause is up for canonization now for Father Emil Capon. And now they have his body was actually moved to the Punch Bowl. That's the National Cemetery in Hawaii, in Honolulu, where they discovered his remains very recently, only about a year ago, and they moved him back to Wichita with full military honors, and he's now buried in the cathedral there in Wichita. So it's a beautiful story of people not giving up on him. And they have an annual march that goes from Wichita to Pilsen, his hometown, which I'm going to be participating in this year around the end of May and early June.
Nice. And isn't it true that Father Vincent Capodanno is buried on Staten Island?
Yes, I've been to his grave.
You have?
Yes, yes, I have. I went with somebody who knew where he was buried, and I knelt down and said a prayer to him and asked him to help me to be a good chaplain and a good bishop.
Oh, see, we do love Bishop Coffey. Okay, I'm going to say it on his worldwide platform. If you know, yes, Bishop Coffey is wonderful. You can get in touch with him. I try, like I said, Bishop, I try to keep it on, you know, very quiet because I don't want everybody asking you for interviews. We need you here on Take Two. Okay, all right, we can share.
Thank you,
yes, we got Bishop Joe Coffey with us, the Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese for the Military Services, and he is with us on this wonderful Memorial Day broadcast of Take Two. We love the Take Two family. That's why these pre-recorded broadcasts are put together by our producer, Michael McCall, just for you. So stay with us for the final segment. Thank thanks so much for tuning in and staying with us on this pre-recorded broadcast of Take Two. We have Bishop Coffey with us, and I'm kind of just cracking up through the break because it kind of reminds me, Bishop, of I live in Arizona, right? And we get 350 days of sunshine a year. But when we talk to people outside of Arizona and they say, what is Arizona like? We say, oh, it's way too hot. You don't want to move here.
You want to keep it to yourself.
Exactly. Exactly, Bishop. That's how we feel about our friends of Take Two. Okay, so Bishop, so you're talking about Father Vincent Capodanno and Father Emil Capon and the road to full canonization. Where are they at? Do you know, like, on the process, where are they at right now? Are we waiting for miracles or what?
I really don't know the status.
I think Father Capon recently was named venerable, which
nice.
Is one of the steps. So I'm not really sure where we are in the process, but I just keep praying that someday we can all go to Rome and be at their canonization. That would be so wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. So that leads me to my next topic and question. So we do now have an American-made pope, right?
Habemus Papam.
That's
Isn't
right.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing. I never thought, Bishop, that I would see it in my lifetime. Never, ever, ever. So that is incredible that we do. He was born in Chicago. And so we just, I know that my friends and family members in Chicago, they are just nonstop celebrating. They're so excited. And all of the t-shirts and all sorts of
right.
things are coming out with Pope Leo XIV, made in the USA. I think it's just so sweet. But let me ask you this question. Now that we do have Pope Leo XIV, do you think with these two military priests on the road to full canonization, maybe it'll be kind of a little bit moved and quicker?
Hope
what
is a
think?
Virtue. I think it's okay to hope for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would be wonderful.
Well, I think it was so exciting for all of us when you think about it, really and truly, the whole world was watching and waiting for that white smoke. I mean, think about that. How special it is that we have a Holy Father in Rome who's in charge of the 1.4 billion Catholics. But all people of goodwill and people around the world were noticing and waiting, as we were, who the new pope would be. And it was just so exciting when you hear there's white smoke, and everyone knows what that means. It means the new pope's going to be announced. So I was at the seminary at the Boynton Beach in Florida, and I'm in a room filled with Catholic seminarians and priests. And when he walked out, I knew exactly who that was, and I knew a little bit about him. He was an Augustinian. My cousin John Denny, the late Father Denny, was an Augustinian. We know that he went to Villanova, which is a college that is in Philadelphia, and three of my brothers graduated from there. My older brother, Bill, was 1 year ahead of him. We know that he was in Peru for 20 years. He was a missionary. He was a math major in college. He's got a doctorate in canon law. My gosh, this guy is holy. He's humble. He's prayerful. He listens. He wants to have dialogue. Oh, my gosh, we are so blessed. So we were so excited. We saw that white smoke and we saw him announced. And I think as the world learns more about him, we are very blessed to have this wonderful new pope. And I can't wait to meet him. Now, I mm-hmm. went to a local rival college, LaSalle. So when I meet him, I'm going to say to him, Villanova's good, but go LaSalle. And I think he'll laugh. I think he will.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Are you actually going to go to Rome or are you going to wait till he starts traveling and just find a place where
well,
he's at?
I'm saying to people that I'm pretty sure I will eventually meet him because we have what we call the ad limina, which is every 5 years the bishops go to Rome to meet with the pope. Now, I got to meet with Pope Francis in 2019, which was also just 2 months after the baby bishop school when I was there for the first time, which was just providential that it was the same year. But I think COVID messed the schedule up a little bit, so... Mm. I'm not sure when our next ad limina visit will be, but I'm very hopeful that it won't be too long from now because I can't wait to meet him and get his blessing.
Yeah, Yeah, I would like to travel. I was so fortunate. I was on a pilgrimage. My spiritual director was the he was stationed at the Vatican with Pope Francis, and he was part of his, you know, like administration writing team over there. And so we were granted a private audience with Pope Francis. And
wow.
But guess what, Bishop? We overslept.
My gosh.
We overslept and we missed the private.
No.
Yes, I couldn't believe it. I know. It was terrible.
You should have asked your guardian angel to wake you up.
We were so tired traveling all the way across.
Geez,
and all of us did, all 50 of us. It was the oddest thing. But so I'm looking forward to maybe going on another pilgrimage, and I would love to just even wave to him from a distance, you know, but I'm right with you. So I did a little internet search. I'm hoping this is correct. So it sounds like Father Capodanno, going back, we're circling back. Father Vincent Capodanno is a servant of God. So he's on the initial stages of the road to canonization. Mm-hmm. And you are correct. Mm-hmm. It's a venerable Father Emil Capon. So he's a venerable. So they are moving along on the full road to canonization, which is very important. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful time to remember them in prayer, wouldn't you say, Bishop?
Oh, absolutely. They're so inspirational to all people in the military and all priests that are out there, all chaplains. So we get to claim those two, and they're very, really special.
Yeah, and I actually saw the presentation that EWTN did on Father Vincent Capodanno, and I would highly recommend it, folks. It was phenomenal. I had my husband watch it, and we watched it twice. It was incredible. EWTN TV does such a fabulous job at keeping us, because I would have never known really about him. You know, I don't really have anybody in my immediate family right now serving in the military. So this is why we do shows like this and learn more through EWTN television and radio. Okay, so back to Pope Leo the 14th. Don't you love that he took Pope Leo?
Oh, St. Leo the 13th.
Exactly.
Rerum Novarum.
Mm-hmm.
And that beautiful encyclical about all those things, labor and all those things.
Yeah.
And the Pope Leo, the St. Michael the Archangel prayer, which we love to say.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's wonderful that you picked. Oh, and you want to hear something really cool?
Tell us.
My nephew is expecting his second son, and they picked the name Leo about a month ago.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That is wonderful. So before he was actually Pope, they picked Leo.
Yes. About a month ago, they announced that his name will be Leo.
Wow. Oh,
that's so cool.
That is cool. And wasn't it beautiful, Bishop Coffey, when he came out on the balcony, and then I looked at the date, and I'm like, wow, this is the day of St. Michael, the apparition of St. Michael with the cave in Gargano, Italy. I mean, how incredible is that? So St. Michael and the St. Michael prayer is coming into view for everyone, and I just think there's no accident to that, Bishop. Let's talk a little bit about that. What do you feel about that? And, you know, a lot of people are trying to put the puzzle pieces together and trying to connect everything. I do believe God is the ultimate puzzle maker, right? And it's our job to put those clues and signs and symbols together so that we do get a bigger picture of things. What do you say to that?
Yeah. Even when I was a little kid, when I would say, oh, that was so lucky, my mom would say, no, we're not lucky. We are blessed.
Mm.
And things happen for a reason. We call these things providence. And God has a plan, and we just have to sometimes see, well, what is that plan, and what are the little pieces of that, and what are the little puzzles, and what are the little clues? So I think that's an example of that God just kind of made that happen.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to think about those kind of things.
And
it is. You can believe these things. It's part of God's plan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And during this Jubilee Year of Hope, don't you think we all need it after going through the COVID interruption and having everything kind of divide us, Bishop? Now it's time to have that hope and be excited. And, you know, for those of us in the United States, I mean, we're super excited to watch and let this this beautiful Pope of ours and his ministry work unfold for the universal church. I mean, it makes us very proud to be American.
very proud. And I think, you know, there's a very healthy rivalry in Philadelphia with among our Catholic colleges. We have St. Joe's, which is a wonderful Jesuit school. We have LaSalle, which is Christian Brothers. We have Villanova, which is the Augustinians. And there's a healthy, fun rivalry, especially when we're playing each other in basketball. But I said to people a couple of days ago, this week we are all Nova Nation.
Mm-hmm.
We are excited. We're going to claim him as our own. He's a Philadelphia college guy. He's an Augustinian, and we're just so excited to see his papacy unfold and all that God has planned and all that's going to happen for us and with us these coming years of his pontificate.
Yeah.
So it's okay to be excited. It's okay to be joyful and filled with hope and joy, and I'm just so excited about all this.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and the buzz is still happening all around the world. It's a wonderful time to be Catholic, and the world is looking at us, Bishop, and they're noticing now what we're doing, and people are revisiting their Catholic faith. Those that have walked away are thinking, let me take a second look at this. So that's wonderful, and it gives us an opportunity with shows like this and all the other programs on EWTN. To be able to evangelize and reach more souls, right, Bishop?
Absolutely. And I am just so proud of you and Jerry. I've told you that many times because what you do is really special, and you are able to reach so many people, and all the people that call into your show, and you pray with people, and you give them a chance to share their thoughts and prayers and feelings with a very wide audience. So please keep doing what you're doing, and you're really contributing to this evangelization of the whole world through media.
Aww.
And Mother Angelica had the vision, and she created the network, and now we have all these TV shows and radio shows. It's just reaching the whole world. The whole earth is being covered now with EWTN.
Yeah, you are spot on, Bishop. But you can't make me cry yet. We could still have more of this pre-recorded broadcast. But thank you. You're so kind, and I'm truly humbled. But Bishop Coffey, let me ask you this question, because talking more about Pope Leo XIV, if you were to give him some advice, seriously.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
No, if you were to give him some advice, what would it be?
Oh, wow. I think he's going to really be very, very prayerful, and he's going to really and truly, really, truly try to do God's will. I think that's right. So I don't think I want to give him any advice, honestly. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm going to be praying for him, as I've prayed for every pope and every president on Sundays for almost 30 years of my priesthood. I think it's important we always pray for who the Pope is, whoever who our president is. I've always tried to preach that. So I am anxious to be praying for Pope Leo XIV, and I am just so excited to see where the Lord's going to lead him in our church. But as far as advice, I'm going to not think of anything right now.
That's cool. I've asked a lot of bishops and priests, and it's interesting. They're very similar in what you shared. One particular priest said that he would take it slowly and take it all in, because there's a lot to cover in this whole church of ours. And that, I think that's good advice. But he sounds like he's prayerful, and he sounds like he is going to pace himself, because the last thing we want our Holy Father, I mean, he's what, 69, I believe?
69, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want him to look like 80 years old overnight, right?
No, I mean, the responsibility might be crushing for anybody.
Right.
I remember clearly when John Paul became the Pope, he was so young and vibrant and strong and healthy, and my God, the job just really took its toll on him. So we had to really pray for him and his health, and that the Lord would keep him strong and healthy.
Yeah.
So we pray for his doctors and all the people in the room that are going to help take care of him, because he's a really important person for us. He's the vicar of Christ. He's the servant of the servants, the bishop of Rome. So we have to take care of our Holy Father, and we have to pray for him every single day.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And we so join you in that, Bishop. And, you know, it's so interesting. As you were talking, I kind of put my head down just a little bit and said a quick prayer. And I have this really strong feeling that you're going to get some really good photos with you and Pope Leo the 14th. I just feel
I hope so.
So when that happens, you'll have to drop us a photo so we can.
I will.
So we can celebrate with you. And really, Bishop, when you do, I'm not going to say if, when you do meet Pope Leo the 14th, please, if you can, just all the Take Two family intentions. You know, I will tell you, you mentioned about we're prayer warriors. We're coming up on 10 years of Take Two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And Bishop, we have so many books, prayer books. I went through them a couple weeks back, and I will tell you that my heart just broke, because a lot of our Take Two family members, a lot of them have gone home to meet the Lord, and so many were really trying to walk the walk, talk the talk of being faithful Catholics, so we continue to pray. We pray for the living and the deceased, and so we believe in that. And any time you can think of us, please remember the Take Two family intentions. And you know, God knows what they are, the requests and the intentions of the whole family. But I will tell you that we've journeyed for so long. I mean, 10 years is a long time, and it's wonderful. And so we would love for you to bring that to just the thought of it to the meeting that you're going to have. I'm gonna put it out there that you're going to have with Pope Leo the 14th. So I love that. But in the final few minutes that we have, anything else you want to share on this Memorial Day broadcast, Bishop? Anything on your mind or your heart, or anything else you'd like to talk about, or talk about the Archdiocese for the military services? Anything that we need to know? I gave the website, it's milarch.org, and that's where you can see everything that's going on. You've got a lot of nice initiatives there and things that you're doing. And you can even see, if you don't know who Bishop Joseph Coffey is, you just go to the Auxiliary Bishop tab and you'll see his picture there and all about your family. I did not realize you have, well, now it's probably over, that you have 42 great nieces and nephews. That's huge.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that is huge. When you get together, that must be like, I mean, how do you even know the names of everybody?
They are coming in bunches, believe me. Yeah, it's wonderful.
I
wanted to share with you that you created a family, the Take Two family. So anyone who calls in, anyone listens, is part of that family. So I consider myself part of your Take Two family.
Oh yeah,
and I'm grateful that you have that, and you and Jerry have created that. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're a valued member of the family. We absolutely love you, and we pray for you all the time. Oh my goodness,
wow.
You have so many
thank
prayers.
You.
Yes, definitely. I didn't realize that your dad was a doctor. What kind of doctor?
He was a doctor of internal medicine.
Oh wow!
He grew up in Philadelphia, LaSalle College, Jefferson Medical School. He did his residency at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, in Rochester. That's where I was born.
Okay.
But then I came back to Philadelphia when I was a year old. So I grew up an Eagles fan, but my second team was the Vikings.
Very cool. So, very cool.
And he was also in the Navy. He was a Navy doctor.
Oh wow! So did you have to go to the pediatrician, or did your dad just take care of the whole family?
Oh, just dad took care of us.
Oh, he did. Okay, that's cool.
Bad part was you couldn't fake being sick to get a day off from school. He would take one look at us and say, "You look okay to me. You better go to school."
And you're like, "Dad, I need a doctor." Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. You are a doctor. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. That's, and you're the, I didn't realize you're the fifth of nine children. Wow.
46 nieces and nephews, and we're up to about 42 grades.
That is amazing. So are you the firstborn son?
No, I'm number five. I have two older brothers, two older sisters, two younger brothers, two younger sisters. So I really am the tiebreaker.
Okay, so you're the tiebreaker, so you're the peacemaker. And are you,
yes.
Are you the only clergy or religious?
In my family, yes. But I had a cousin who was an Augustinian, and I have a nephew, same name, Joe Coffey, who's a seminarian at Charles Seminary, Philadelphia.
Wow.
And I tell people he is Joe Coffey the Younger, not the Lesser. And I'm so proud of him, and I know he's going to be a wonderful priest someday. He's going in next year, he'll be in First Theology, so he's finishing up his propedeutic year and 2 years of pre-theology.
Oh, well, that is amazing. You must be so proud. Now, where are you stationed, Bishop?
My headquarters right now is in Ardmore, PA, near Villanova.
Okay.
But my territory is the USA, so I'm on the road quite a bit. But when I'm not traveling, I'm within 15 minutes of 6 of my 8 siblings. I have one brother in South Carolina and a sister in Ave Maria down by Naples. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is close to home in Philly.
That is wonderful. So when you go home, does everybody gather together and they're like, the bishop's here, the bishop's here? Do they do that?
Well, they usually say Uncle Joe's here.
Okay, gotcha. Very cool, very cool. And so when you travel, do you get to see some of the sacred sites and the holy doors, you know, right now with the Jubilee Year of Hope, we've got mm-hmm. the holy doors that everybody's going to different pilgrimages. Do you get to experience that? Or are you just there for a mission and you're out of there?
No, whenever I go to a city, I'm always trying to get to the cathedral. I've been to many of our country's beautiful cathedrals. And people need to find out where the Holy Year door is in their diocese. So not everyone can get to Rome, but the bishop of a diocese has designated certain places in the diocese where he can get those special prayers for the Holy Jubilee Year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And we have, I think, till what, January to go through the Holy Doors, I believe so. So I think we have time still to check out where
right.
those...
I guess mm-hmm. January 1st will be the end of the Jubilee Year. The Jubilee Year is a very, very special year. It's only every 25 years, so we really have to take advantage of the graces of this Jubilee Year of Hope, because the next one won't be for another 25 years.
Yeah, and we could all be gone, Bishop.
Well, who knows? We never know.
Yeah, you never know. We could be called home at any time. Yeah, so we got to.
I do tell people that tomorrow's never promised any one of us. So really, each day is a gift. Each day is a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. So we've been speaking this whole entire hour, and we're getting ready to close this pre-recorded broadcast for Memorial Day. Thank you again to Michael McCall, our wonderful producer, for putting this together. Thank you to Bishop Joe Coffey for making the time for all of the Take Two family. He is part of the Take Two family, and we love him very much. You can always check out what the Archdiocese for the Military Services is doing by going to milarch.org. And in the final couple minutes, Bishop, we have to leave room for a blessing, because we do want a blessing from you to all of the military families that lost their loved ones who served so bravely. And we also want a blessing for all the Take Two family and those that listen to Catholic Radio. But before we do, I just want to, you were so free at paying these wonderful compliments, and you're so kind. Bishop, thank you for being you. I just want to say
thank you very much, Debbie.
Yes. Absolutely. And thank you for saying yes to your vocation. Did you ever think you were going to become a bishop?
No. That did not cross my mind.
Wow. I wonder if Pope Leo felt that way. We should. When you go to meet him, you should ask him, did you ever think you were going to be pope? I bet you he did. What do you think?
Well, his brother said that when he was about 5 years old, he was thinking about becoming a priest. So he's a pretty special person.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you again for being with us. And if you can impart a blessing to us, we would so appreciate it.
Sure. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless you, Debbie. And God bless Jerry.
Oh, thank you so much. I will tell him you said hello. Thank you, Bishop Joseph Coffey of the Archdiocese for the Military Services. You are amazing, and we love you, and we pray for you all the time. And we want to thank the Take Two family for listening to this pre-recorded broadcast on Memorial Day. Thank you so much, you guys. We love you. Please like us on Facebook, Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. You can also find my personal page, Debbie Giorgiani. Like us there as well. Also, Michael McCall will be posting more things about Memorial Day. Memorial Day and things that we can do to follow the canonization process of Father Vincent Capodanno and Father Emil Capon, and so many things that are happening this beautiful year. And yes, we agree with Bishop Coffey that we need to pray for our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV. So please, we believe in the power of prayer. Very, very important. Also, too, I just wanted to share, to tune in, if you can, to the Spirit World on Saturdays. That's 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. We are produced out of the Guadalupe Radio Network, heard all over the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And my co-host, a religious demonologist, Adam Bly, does such fine work, and he really helps all of us in the area of spiritual warfare and other things that we can learn about angels and demons. So that's the Spirit World on Saturdays, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. Okay, you hear that beautiful music. You've been listening to it for almost 10 years. That's the Take Two theme music, and that's the close of this pre-recorded broadcast. So we want to just share with everyone that's listening, have a beautiful and blessed Memorial Day, and we'll see you real soon. Okay.